Greetings, this is Archdeacon Steve West, the Parish Priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this 16th Sunday after Pentecost, proper 21 years C. Our readings today from Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 1 to 3a. And 6 to 15, Psalm 91, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 19, and the Gospel of Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. You were receiving our reflection today very early. But that is to ensure that we don't miss this Sunday. Let us pray. The Lord is here and we will praise Him. The Lord is here and we will worship Him. The Lord is here and we will trust Him. The Lord is here and we will honor Him. The Lord is here. And He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. Lord, we do not come as guests, but as members of Your family. We do not come in fear, but with joy and thanksgiving. We do not come alone, but with all Your people of every age and in every place. Lord, we come as Your family, for You are our Heavenly Father, and Christ is our brother, our Lord, and Savior. Amen. Lord, You tell us that the whole earth is a picture of Your glory, that everything we see and hear is specifically designed to make You known and Your presence a reality. Compared to the mirror of creation, the words of our worship can seem too formal, almost empty, unrevealing. Yet we long to worship You, to draw closer and closer to You, and to know You, a living reality at the center of our lives and at the heart of our worship. By Your Holy Spirit, enable us to lift up Christ and to lift up our voices and lives in His praise. Amen. Our hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Yeah. We pray the collect for proper 21, followed by our parish prayer. O God, you declare your almighty power, chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we, running to obtain your promises, may become partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Challenges of Serving God. Challenges of Serving God. In the Gospels, Jesus challenges his disciples. You cannot serve two masters. If you wish to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. A brief look at the Old Testament reveals that those who are called to serve God were also faced with many challenges. The prophet Jeremiah, for almost four decades, had been warning the people of Judah that the Lord is bringing judgment on Judah for their centuries of idolatry and injustice. In today's reading from Jeremiah chapter 32, the prophet has been arrested and confined to the royal palace on a charge of sedition because he had been predicting the defeat of King Zedekiah. Even in confinement, the word of the Lord came to the prophet. He is instructed to purchase a field from his cousin, Hanamel. The field is located in Jeremiah's hometown of Anathoth, just a few miles north of Jerusalem. Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me. Hanamel, son of your uncle, Shalom, is going to cause you to come to you and to say, 'Buy my field that is in Anathol, for the right of redemption by purchase is yours.' Then my cousin Hanamel came to me, and in the court of the guard, in accordance with the word of the Lord, and said to me, 'Buy my field that is at Anathol, in the land of Benjamin, for the right of possession and redemption is yours. Buy it yourself.' Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord." Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 6 to 8. Jeremiah, in obedience, bought the field, although he was in no position to do anything with it. He was under arrest. But God was using him to perform a symbolic action which will reveal God's plan for Judah after defeat, captivity, and exile. Jeremiah, in obedience, purchased the land for 17 shekels of silver. He signed the deed, sealed it, got witnesses, and weighed the money on scales. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 10. In the presence of witnesses, two deeds were prepared and signed in the way prescribed by the law. Jeremiah was instructed by God, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put them in an earthenware jar, in order that they may last for a long time. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 14. Placing the deeds in an earthenware jar meant that the jar would serve as a type of time capsule, preserving the deeds for the 70 years of Judah's exile. The prophet emphasized that Judah's punishment would come. The invading Babylon army would destroy Jerusalem and the temple, and the people would be taken away in exile. However, after 70 years in exile, Judah would be released from captivity and will return to the promised land. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land. Jeremiah 32, verse 15. There was good news. The exile would come to an end. But in bringing the word from God, Jeremiah became unpopular. He was imprisoned. He would become disliked by his family, who would not understand why, even in prison, he would want to purchase land and then preserve the deeds in a jar. No one in Jerusalem would pay much attention to the release from exile. They would be angry with Jeremiah for calling down doom and gloom on the nation, even though the nation for centuries was disobedient to God and committed idolatry and injustice and deserved the punishment. In his service to God, Jeremiah would face serious challenges, even a threat to his life. In our epistle today from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 19, Paul continues to instruct Timothy in appropriate Christian conduct. Paul emphasizes the fact that there are great gains in godliness combined with contentment. 1 Timothy chapter 16, verse 6. Those who truly desire to serve God must not have the desire for more and more material things, for God looks after the needs, not the wants. Contentment does not come with the possession of external things. It comes with the satisfaction of knowing that one is striving to do God's will, and God will satisfy one's needs. Paul warns Timothy and those who desire to serve God in today's reality that faith and trust in God is essential for good and faithful service. For if one is not contented, then one's desire for fame, power, and wealth would dominate one's thoughts, words, and actions, and lead to disobedience to God's will and God's law. Paul warns, those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. The challenge for those who wish to serve God is to be content with what you have. And if your material possessions increase, not to crave for more, but see the increase as a blessing from God, who has given it to you to enable you to share your blessings with others. Paul identifies a great challenge for those in the service of God. If riches increase, and I dare say power and fame increase, do not place your hope on these earthly things which are not trustworthy. These things which are temporary and cannot be used, be of use to you in death. Paul invites Timothy, as he invites us, to place our faith in God, who is not only trustworthy, but generous. Paul invites us to become rich in good works and generosity, and thereby experience life in all its fullness here and now, and receive God's gift of eternal life at the end of this life's journey. Paul calls Timothy and all who wish to serve God to virtues which express trust and obedience in God. He writes, "But as for you, servant of God, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you are called." 1 Timothy chapter 16, verses 11 and 12. To serve God faithfully, one must not focus on the things of the world which pass away, but on the things of God which are eternal. That is our great challenge. Amen. Let us pray. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. God of Abraham and Sarah, you hold all life in the palm of your hand and see the secret thoughts of our hearts. Keep us from complacency and becoming haughty. Set our hopes on your rich provision. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. God of Lazarus, you hear the cry of all who live in poverty and hunger. We pray for those responsible for welfare provision and distributing from the common purse. Bring justice and righteousness to reign. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. God of rich and poor, we pray for our community. Strengthen the bonds that unite us and lead us to fellowship and cohesive living. Anoint your people with your Holy Spirit. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. God of hope, hear our prayers for all who are pierced with pain and struggle with oppression of mind, body, or spirit. Bring us to believe that you do indeed keep your promises forever. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. God of eternal glory, we remember with thanksgiving all who have passed from this life. Rooted and grounded in your love, bring us all to share in the life that is really life. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.